Penguin Random House Audio presents Projections, A Story of Human Emotions by Carl Dice Roth. Read for you by Carl Dice Roth with Natalie Nottis and Karen Chilton. This is the author, Carl Dice Roth. 4 Our Family. I offer you the memory of a yellow rose seen at sunset, years before you were born. I offer you explanations of yourself, theories about yourself, authentic and surprising news of yourself. I can give you my loneliness, my darkness, the hunger of my heart. I am trying to bribe you with uncertainty, with danger, with defeat. Jorge Luis Borges, 2 English poems. Prologue. After sound, light, and heat, memory, will, and understanding. James Joyce, Finnegan's Wake. In the art of weaving, warp threads are structural and strong and anchored at the origin, creating a frame for crossing fibers as the fabric is woven. Projecting across the advancing edge into free space, warp threads bridge the formed past to the ragged present, to the yet featureless future. The tapestry of the human story has its own warp threads, rooted deep in the gorges of East Africa, connecting the shifting textures of human life over millions of years, spanning pictographs backdropped by creviced ice, by angulated forestry, by stone and steel, and by glowing rare earths. The inner workings of the mind give form to these threads, creating a framework within us upon which the story of each individual can come into being. Personal grain and color arise from the cross threads of our moments and experiences, the fine weft of life, embedding and obscuring the underlying scaffold with intricate and sometimes lovely detail. Here are stories of this fabric fraying in those who are ill, in the minds of people for whom the warp is exposed and raw and revealing. The bewildering intensity of emergency psychiatry provides a context for all the stories in this volume. If such a setting is to illuminate the shared fabric of the human mind, disrupted interstates should be rendered onto the page as faithfully as possible. So, here, symptom descriptions from patients are unaltered and real, to reflect the essential nature, the true timbre and soul of these experiences, though, to maintain privacy, many other details have been changed. Likewise, the powerful neuroscience technologies described, which complement psychiatry by providing a distinct way of looking into the brain, are also entirely real, despite their sometimes science fiction-like and decidedly unsettling qualities. As depicted here, these methods are drawn unchanged from peer-reviewed papers out of laboratories around the world, including my own. But even medicine and science are inadequate alone to describe the human internal experience. And so some of these stories are told not from the point of view of a doctor or a scientist, but from a patient's perspective, sometimes in the first or third person, sometimes with altered states reflected by altered language, where another person's inner depths, their thoughts or feelings or memories, are depicted in this way. The book reflects neither science nor medicine, but only a reaching out of my own imagination, with care and respect and humility, to create a conversation with voices I have never heard but only sensed in echoes. The challenge of trying to perceive and experience unconventional realities from the patient's perspective is the heart of psychiatry, working through the distortions of both observer and observed. But inevitably, the true innermost voices of the departed and the silenced, the suffering and the lost, remain private. Imagination here is of uncertain value, and none is asserted, but experience has revealed the many limitations of modern neuroscience and psychiatry in isolation. Ideas from literature have long seemed to me just as important for understanding patients, at times providing a window into the brain more informative than any microscope objective. I still value literature as much as science in thinking about the mind, and whenever possible, I returned to a lifelong love of writing. Though for years this love was only a banked ember, covered with science and medicine like drifts of ash and snow. Somehow, three independent perspectives, psychiatry and imagination and technology, together can frame the conceptual space needed, perhaps because they have little in common. Along the first dimension is the story of a psychiatrist, told through a progression of clinical experiences, each centered on one or two human beings. Just as when a fabric frays, its hidden structural threads can be revealed, or when a bit of DNA mutates, the original functions of the damaged gene can be inferred. The broken describe the unbroken, and so each story underscores how the hidden inner experiences of healthy human beings, and perhaps of a doctor as well, might be revealed by the even more cryptic and shadowed experiences of psychiatric patients. Each story also imagines the emerging human inner experience of emotions in moments of the world today and across millennia in steps along our journey, past obstacles in our path that may not have been traversed without compromise. This second progression begins with stories of simple and ancient circuits for just being alive, the cells for breathing or for moving with muscles, or for creating the fundamental barrier between self and other. That earliest, most primal boundary between each of us and the world, called ectoderm, a lonely, fragile layer thin as a single cell, gives rise to skin as well as brain, and so it is with the same ancient borderline that contact between human beings is felt in all its forms, physical or psychological, across the spectrum from healthy to disordered social states. The stories move among the universal feelings of loss and grief in human relationships, to deep fractures in the basic experience of external reality that come with mania and psychosis, and finally, to disruptions encroaching even on the inner self, the lost ability to feel pleasure in our lives, as can happen in depression, the lost motivation to nourish ourselves, as in disorders of eating, and even the loss of the self itself with dementia at life's end. Along this second dimension, the emotions of the subjective inner world, we begin and end with imagination. Whether in stories of prehistory, feelings leave no fossils, we cannot know what was felt in the past, and so we do not attempt to be evolutionary psychologists, or of the present, since even today we cannot directly observe another human being's inner experience. But where the measurable effects of feelings are consistent across individuals, as far as we can tell with carefully applied technology, experimental insight into the inner workings of the brain may develop. Along a third dimension, each story reveals this rapidly emerging scientific understanding, with clues from both healthy and disordered states, supported by experiments and driven by data. This final dimension is thus a scientific axis, drawn to guide the public without scientific training, people who deserve to grasp and own for themselves every idea and concept here. This book, then, is not only about the experiences of a psychiatrist, nor imagining the emergence of human emotions, nor even the latest neurotechnology. Each of these three perspectives acts only as a lens, each focused in a different way on the central mystery of feelings in the mind, each providing a different view of the same scene. It's not simple to fuse these disparate perspectives together into a single image, but it is no more easy to be human or to become humanity, and the volume can, in the end, achieve a sort of grainy resolution. Profound respect and gratitude is expressed here to my patients, whose challenges have provided us with this perspective, and to all whose inner suffering, known or unknown, has been inextricably part of the long, dusky, desperate, uncertain, and occasionally lovely tapestry of our shared journey. A word about myself and my own path may be helpful so that the distortions of the narrator can be better known. I am, as are we all, more subjective than objective, only a flawed bit of human optics. In early life, there was no hint that the particular path I was traveling would lead to psychiatry, or that the journey would also wind through the even less congruent realm of engineering. My childhood was set in an ever-shifting context, from small towns to big cities, from the east to the west, to the middle of the North American continent and back again, following my restless family, my mother and father and two sisters, who, like me, all seemed to value reading above every other pursuit, as we moved every few years to a new home.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?